Stay up to date on the green and gold all off season. The Green and Gold Fix podcast is brought to you by Potawatomi Casino Hotel. Luxury stay, elite play, unwind in sophisticated comfort. Win big, dine, and experience the events in Milwaukee. Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone.
Adam, yeah, some more
Adam, you have more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're
going
to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
It'll be up to Russ Ball to see if he can get this deal done, wants to get it done. Don't think that they're anywhere close to getting it done right now. And those are conversations that all occur here.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
Always excited to talk to our guy, Adam Schefter, ESPN senior NFL insider, joins us every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Adam.
What is going on there, guys? How are we doing?
Oh, we're doing great. So, Jen not here today because she has a project she's working on where she is interviewing the commissioner of baseball. She has an interview with Rob Manfred out in New York today, so she's off the show. So that's where I want to start with you. If you could sit down with any commissioner of any sport and ask one question, who would you want to sit down with, and what would that question be?
Well, I obviously we want to sit down with Roger Goodell. I wouldn't know where to start with Adam Silver. Adam Silver,
well, I know
such a
you're
nice guy.
I know you are Manfred. An NBA yeah. fan, so I didn't know if you know you wanted to talk to Adam Silver, if you had any questions for him.
He's an impressive guy, Adam Silver. I don't think I've ever had the chance to meet him before. I've never met Rob Manfred before. Jen's meeting him today. Roger, I know, having worked at the league office, been around the sport, obviously.
For a couple years.
Talked with Roger many times. Yeah, I've talked with Roger many times. That would be the guy because it would be related to my job. And I guess what I want to talk to him about, I don't know, just the general forward direction of the game, where it's going with 18 games, international flavor, could they redo the CBA, things like that. You know, nothing that I feel like, boy, I've got to ask him this one question. I've got to ask him this one question. I don't feel that right now. But, yeah, there are enough global issues in the National Football League that there's always something that's interesting and notable.
So with Goodell, as time has gone on, do you feel like his reputation has gotten better amongst NFL fans? Because for the longest time, I felt it was incredibly bad, and even with the players, because he was the judge and jury when it came to handing down punishments and things of that nature. And it feels like a lot of that has mellowed over time.
Yeah, listen, I think he's evolved, right? There, he was going through it. I mean, you know, there was a period there where really it seemed like it was the first time that domestic violence was taken seriously in sports. That had never really happened before. And Roger was at the forefront of that, bad and good, right? Like people criticizing him for not being stern enough and not being harsh enough on some of these players. And in terms of being the judge, jury, and executioner, I think the league was smart enough in the CBA to take out some of these violations. I was saying to somebody the other day, it's June 25th, and it feels quieter than it normally is because it is quieter because there are a few reasons. Number one, I think the league, the players in the league have gotten much savvier. I think they've grown up in a different environment. They've grown up knowing that they're constantly being watched and scrutinized. And if anything goes wrong, they're going to be out front in the media. And I think people have seen enough of that to know, okay, they've done a better job avoiding it. And I think the league in the CBA has eliminated some of the suspensions that used to come this time of the year. You know, this time of the year, we used to get, you know, 10, 12 players suspended for violating the substance abuse policy, for smoking pot, whatever it would be. And the league has kind of moved away from that. So you lose some headlines there. And you lose some headlines. It used to be that, you know, rookie contracts were a big deal. A lot of them wouldn't get done. They've taken care of that in the CBA. So and listen, Roger's out front on a lot of this. So a lot of the negative attention that would come to the league at this time of the year with off the field incidents with suspensions and to a lesser degree holdouts. All those things have basically, I don't say they've gone away because they haven't. There's always situations that occur, but they've certainly decreased, it feels like, over time.
Adam, I see that Jacksonville okayed their $1.4 billion to renovate their stadium. The Panthers kind of did the same. How serious are the Chiefs in losing, Kansas City and moving to Kansas? Is that a real deal?
Well, here's what I would say to you. What's interesting is that the Chiefs stadium issue was opened up to a vote, and it was obviously attached to the Royal Stadium as well. So citizens were voting on whether to approve stadium renovations for both the Chiefs and the Royals, rather than just the Chiefs, because they're in the same complex, not the same building, but the same sports complex with the two stadiums side by side. If anybody's ever been to Kansas City, I know you have, I have. It got turned down. And I think that the message that, like, taxpayers don't want to give these sports teams and owners any more money than they already have. Like, they don't want to make sure that these owners who are worth billions already have more money, more of their money. Like, that doesn't seem fair or right. But in the case of the Panthers and the Jaguars, it went through city councils, and the city councils approved it. It never went to vote, right? And so,
gotcha.
If anything, and I don't know the politics of it all, but I don't know why the Chiefs, like, it's hard for me to imagine that in this day and age, anybody on any sports team is going to win a popular vote of citizens for more money for stadiums and renovations like that. I would say most every situation, if not all those situations, would be rejected. But the Jaguars and Panthers had the foresight, and however this works, I'm not familiar with the politics in every city, to go through city council, and they were able to get what they wanted through the members of the city council, whereas the Chiefs went to vote. Now, where does that leave the Chiefs? In a tough spot, in an uncomfortable spot. There's uncertainty about their future, whether they would stay there, whether they would move to nearby area or not. Look, anything's possible. I don't know what's real and what's not. I'm not close enough to the situation. But I think that's the big message with those stadium situations. If it's going to vote.
Adam, does it get to a point where the league will step in and say, ho, let's pump the brakes here? Or no, or is this all? Because doesn't it have to pass a vote with the owners? Don't they have to get like 2/3 permission in order to move to Kansas? Oh.
Mark, let me explain to you how that vote's going to go. And let me explain to you how the owners are going to vote. They're going to vote with their hands on their wallets. Okay? So if the move to Kansas makes them more money, they're voting for that. And like, I laughed at this. I saw a sentence that somebody wrote last night. Oh, this Jaguars renovation still has to be approved by owners. Oh, so there's going to be an owner who votes against the city giving the Jacksonville Jaguars $650 million? Really? Let me tell you how that's going to go, okay? Put it on the ticket right. It's unanimous. It passed, okay? It's going to pass. I mean, what are we talking about? And by the way, I don't think the owners – I mean, if the Green Bay Packers were trying to move, maybe the league might get involved and say, hold on, you're not going from Green Bay to Iowa, or you're not going from Green Bay to Vancouver, whatever it is. Yes, okay? There are certain things like that. But in these cases, please, it's all about the money and how the other owners are going to benefit from it. So, the Jaguars' plans getting approved, the Panthers' plans getting approved. We'll see what happens with the Chiefs. And I can tell you that the other owners want what's best for the Chiefs, period.
Something I haven't been following super close, Adam, I don't know if you have, this antitrust Sunday Ticket case, which could be wrapping up here soon. And look, I don't want to dive into the details of it. People can find that. The only thing that I'm curious about is if the NFL is found liable in this case, a jury could award $7 billion in damages, and because it's an antitrust case,
triple
that can
damages,
get tripled.
Right?
Where does that money come from? Like, would the owners, I mean, obviously the owners would have to pay it because they have the league. Is there a way that they would go, okay, hey, we just had to pay $21 billion in this case. Now the salary cap's going down, or is this completely separate? I just don't know how those finances would work.
Nor do I. I guess I should ask that question, but I don't know the answer. And do people have insurance in cases like that? I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
It's not
who's insuring $21 billion?
It's not an area that I have great expertise in. I'd have to ask.
Yeah,
that.
Because
and by the way, before I even ask that, I will guarantee you that the league doesn't feel like it's going to go that way. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know where that money would come from, but they don't feel like it's going to happen the way that you just outlined.
Everything,
that I can tell you.
Yeah, everything I've read seems like this is probably going to go the league's way, but I guess. Again, like I really don't care because, A, I'm not a part of the lawsuit, and if billionaires end up losing some money, the only way I care as a fan is if the salary cap goes down and my team's trying to negotiate a contract with their star quarterback. Like, how does that affect
it? But if it's going to affect your team and your quarterback, it's going to affect everybody's team and their quarterback, mm-hmm. too. Right. So they're all on equal footing here, and it's not like it's going to impact one team more than another team. They're all in this together, just like they are on these stadium renovations, even though Jacksonville and Carolina will profit the most.
Adam, what were your thoughts on the Packers naming Ed Policy as their next president?
You know, to me, it was obvious that it was going in this direction all along. Like, everybody I talked to around the league for months had said Ed Policy is going to wind up getting the job. Now, again, they hire search firms. I don't know why they needed a search firm in this particular case, to be perfectly frank. They looked at Jason Wright in Washington. They looked at Sashi Brown in Baltimore. They looked at guys like Tony Pastores in Los Angeles. I got to tell you something, with all due respect, me and you two guys could have done this search and save the Packers hundreds of thousands of dollars in search firm costs, okay? And it would have been every bit as effective, and it would have produced the same exact result. Ed Policy was the guy who has worked himself into a position where he was regarded as the favorite. He deserved this job. You could look at all these other people. You could have suggested names to talk to. I could have suggested names to talk to. They could have gotten some other independent names that they did. Please, Ed Policy was the guy that was going to win this job. He just was. He deserves it. He has the reputation for it. I'm sure he's going to be outstanding at it. And my only complaint would be that they use search firms to aid the process when, in my mind, it wasn't necessary here.
Adam, you've been, you know, again, with your job, you travel a little bit. Our producer, Joshy, is taking a big trip. He's going to be going down to Mexico for a wedding with his girlfriend.
Ooh, ooh.
Four nights, five ooh. Days. We can get
that's
more
a lot
of the details
pesos. Yep.
If you want.
Yep.
But my question to you, if you're going on a trip like that, four nights, 5 days, how many pairs of underwear are you packing? Because this is a big decision. Like, you don't want to have too much to take up. You know, you don't want to have too little.
Yeah, but underwear is not Tina. I'm going to take 4 nights, 5 days. I'm going to take 8 pairs of underwear.
Why 8?
All right, that's.
I doubled the 4.
Okay.
What? Just in case? Like, you know, well, actually, five days, I might take 10. I'd rather have 10 because.
Do you get your entire luggage, Adam, or do you have? Does your wife get a percentage of your luggage as well as hers? Because I get about 60% of my own luggage.
Chewy, I get one bag,
yeah.
And then my wife takes two giant bags. So, like, she can't take any more things. Like, in fact, we're about to go on a little brief trip for 3 days. You would think that my wife is leaving for 3 months, right? Not 3 days. But this is, look. She's got anxiety with flying. She doesn't like to do it. And so, you know, one time I learned, you know, listen, we all learn things in marriage, right? So, like, I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, this is a giant bag for three. And she's like, this is the stuff I want to bring in. You know, she is very apprehensive about flying, has not flown a whole lot at all. So I learned, like, okay, whatever it is that brings her comfort and makes her happy, Good. Honey, you want to bring four bags? Great. Well, then we'll bring in four bags. Like, that's it. I learned to keep my mouth quiet, not say anything, and whatever she wants to bring, she can bring.
You taking notes over there,
Sue? Does she let you work? Does she let you work on vacation, or does she give you the Adam enough? Put the phone away.
Well, I'll never forget. You got to understand something. We've gone. I could count on a single hand the number of times we've been away together. Okay, so number one, she doesn't like to fly. She lost her first husband on 9/11. Right. So after that, she was done flying. And it took a long time to get her to fly again. Understandably so. We went for our 10-year anniversary for a weekend to Nantucket. And I remember flying there for that weekend. And I remember when we landed, the Chiefs fired John Dorsey. And it's not like that in and of itself is a big story. But what happens is when John Dorsey gets fired, I get eight GMs that are calling me to find out what happened with John Dorsey in Kansas City. And you're not going to say, you know, I don't know. I'm on vacation. Call me. You know, I'll call you on Monday and get back to you. So you're taking these phone calls, and I'm on my 10-year anniversary vacation for that. That wasn't really – that didn't go over all that great. You know, so it does happen, you know, when you're away that – work intervenes, and you think at this time of the year that nothing would happen. And like I said, we're about to go away for a few days to the West Coast, our whole family, a few days. And hopefully nothing will happen, and it'll be a nice little getaway.
Adam,
and I'll bring it for the 3 days. I'll bring 5-6 pairs of underwear.
All right, thank you.
Adam, I got a quick John Dorsey story for you. So John Dorsey was a scout for the Packers in 92 when I was being drafted.
Yep.
And obviously I wasn't going to be a high-round draft pick. So he's coming in to work me out. And I'm like, a couple of days before, running a 40, working on my starts, you know, going to the gym, benching that. I'm off. So he comes in, he goes, "You got a pair of basketball shoes?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure. What size, 13? I'm, here." He goes, "Let's go play basketball." So we go. He doesn't even work me out. We just go into the Recplex, play basketball. He's like, great, leaves. I'm like, I've got no chance of going to the Green Bay Packers. I didn't run a 40. I didn't do anything. Lo and behold, sixth round, I couldn't believe it.
He was looking at your athletic ability through a different lens at that time. You didn't realize it.
Yeah.
He was looking at your athletic ability to see how you could jump, see how you could move, see how your feet were. He was doing it in a different setting because he had – the other information on the other variables,
which wasn't good. Which wasn't good, Adam.
that's why he was taking another look to see, okay, let me look at this guy's feet. Let me see his hand-eye coordinate, like all those things like that, right? And John's a tremendous scout. He's tremendous at what he does. So
obviously
he recognized something in you, and there we go.
They could have took me in the fourth round. It didn't have to be the sixth.
how many years did you get to play for?
Nine.
How many years? No, that's pretty good. Pretty good, Joey. Yeah. And how many Pro Bowls?
Three. Three where I was legitimately voted in. Not like today where the seventh alternate gets in, so.
Right, yeah, I got it. But three Pro Bowls. It's good. Nine years.
That's solid.
Quickly, before we let you go, Adam, because you had David Bakhtiari on your podcast last week, do you think he ends up signing with a team in 2024?
Yes. Oh, definitely. Without question. Like,
really?
That, you know, And in fact, I went into that conversation that I had with him on my podcast, and I wasn't sure, you know, what he was going to say. Like, okay, he wants to play. He doesn't want to play. Doesn't know how the knee's going to hold up. And my takeaways were, oh, yeah, he wants to play. Oh, yeah, he's going to play. He's talking to teams. And I was surprised, but on the podcast, he said he wanted to play multiple seasons. Now, I wasn't expecting to hear that day either. That told me that he feels pretty good about where he's at, and he's confident that his latest knee procedure in November, I believe it was, really helped him out. He sounded good. He felt good. I think he's going to play this year. And I would think he's going to sign at some point this summer. Like, I don't know whether that's before camp or 2 weeks into camp, But I think my guess would be, what is it, June 25th?
Mm-hmm.
Sometime in the next six weeks, he'll wind up signing somewhere. And by the way, I also think he would be the first guy, that if there were a playoff-contending team that suffered an injury to an offensive tackle during camp of any kind, like, he's the first call I'm making.
Adam, we certainly appreciate the time. I'm rooting for no news to break during your little getaway that you're taking with your family out to the West Coast. So best of luck with that, my friend.
Yeah, it's not much of a trip, but it's a little trip. And for us, you know, for us, little trips are big trips because we don't really do this kind of thing. So hopefully it'll be nice. We're looking forward to it. And as you said, hopefully there is no news. I'm sure there'll be something, though. There always is.
Always is with the NFL. That's why we appreciate you. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
You too. Adam Schefter joins us every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and he's brought to you in part by our friends at the Isla Resort and Casino. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.